Okay, we are continuing in this piece on Nechama from Rav Pinkus on the sheets that you have. We're on page Sadivav at the bottom. We're coming to the conclusion of the concept of the Nechama that the Jewish people will receive when Mashiach comes. And the focus is on how Hashem does not change. Right? Right at the bottom of Sadivav, is that correct? So, Nechama Lador Acharon, the comfort that will come to the final generation. Lasi Lavo Bishasa Geula, in the future, at the time of the redemption, Nargish Heitev as Achisarin Shal Shinos Hagolus, we will be able to feel very well that lack and deficiency that was evident during all the years of the exile. All the Torah that wasn't learned, all the great people that didn't develop. Things that can never be returned. And therefore, bebechi yavo, therefore with tears they will come back to Yerushalayim. Amnam ha-nechama hi, and so what is the comfort? The comfort is, shigam l'dor acharon, that even for that last generation, yorud shebe yorudim, the lowest of the low, yesh tafkid v'shayochus shava l'gula. There was a goal, a mission, and an equal connection of that generation to the redemption, no different than any other generation, so to speak. Meaning to say, Vare shelo nia kigedole hadoros. Certainly that generation will not be as the great generations were. But im niska lishmo es divra Torah shel tatanoim v'amoroim shel rishon v'achronim tachas osan abushu nero. And the proof is, if we would merit to hear any words of Torah from the great rabbis of the Talmud, or the great rabbis in the Middle Ages, or even in the latter 16, 17, 1800s, if we would listen to their Torah, an awesome shame would grasp hold of us when we would see how deficient we are in Torah learning compared to them. Okay, lo novin milachas, wouldn't understand one word of what they're learning. Yiduim divrei moron hagon rav iser zalman meltzer. Is well known the words of Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, who said, Shadir ben, what? Okay, we'll review it again. Shadir ben b'dei yeshivas lechas ludaber b'limud imar nachazanish. He encouraged yeshiva students to speak words of Torah with the Chazanish, where he said, Hayom atem yichom ludaber ito, yavosman shalituch lafilo gaspo. Today you have a chance to speak with him and to learn with him. There'll come a day when you won't be able to. Let's cry over our loss. That those tears will remain forever. In terms of Torah, in many areas, our generation is really low. But the comfort is that even for the lower generation, there's a portion of this whole process of bringing Mashiach, just like the higher generations. What will be the comfort that Hashem will tell the Jewish people? Certainly the earlier generations were much more awesome and greater than you. But the last generation was able to find me and reach me in spite of all the deficiencies that they had. So the point being that no generation had as many obstacles to come over that you had to get by. And for you to reach any kind of level of belief in Hashem and Avodas Hashem is an amazing thing. So therefore, the comfort isn't making up that which is missing. The comfort to someone who lost a large amount of money is that he is able to settle his heart with the knowledge that he can exist without the money. What's the comfort that comes to a person who lost a father? Is that Hashem Yisparach Yikaymos Chol Emro Sachasar Nagodol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avi Yisom Vein Chachasar Dover. Hashem Yisparach can maintain you in spite of this great loss, because Hashem is the father of the orphans and you're not lacking anything. That's the idea, since Hashem is the Makom. Since Hashem is the Makom, He is the place, it isn't any harder for Him to maintain anything in this world. Everyone needs a place, everyone needs a space, it's equally as necessary for everyone. So the space you needed when you had a father, so now the space you need without a father, the need may be greater, but in God's eyes, it isn't any harder for him to take care of you. So Emunas Yisraeli, so the belief of the Jewish people is, Shenitin Lavadis Hashem L'Gia L'Kirvah Shechus L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'osamid U'Bishtavos L'Doros Rishonim. That it's possible to serve Hashem and to reach a closeness and a connection to Hashem in the same level and an equal way to earlier generations. Ein lono beis hamikdash lo ruach hakodesh einenu bekim v'gaonim. We may not have a beis hamikdash. We may not have that divine spirit within us. And we may not be experts in gaonim and incredible Torah giants. Aval hamida b'nisyonas hagolos, but to stand against the tests of the exile. Mesiras hanefesh l'toyru mitzvus b'matzav shal tzoros v'yisurim. And self-sacrifice for Torah mitzvus in a situation of pain and suffering. Heim avoda hakoshe shal adar achram. This is the hard work of the last generation, and as we know, ulufum tzara agra, according to the pain, according to the effort, that is the reward. And therefore, what we have to contend with nowadays is just incredible that the earlier generations did not have to contend with. And therefore, we have whatever thing we contribute is very, very significant in God's eyes. But often, in a way, the truth of the matter is, Shebe'emes ain teretz alakusha. Really, in a certain way, there is no answer to the question. He's going to end up with a very fundamental philosophical Jewish point. Because im yesh avelus, if there really is mourning, ma nechama, what could be the comfort? If it's a real mourning, what could be the comfort? Im yesh nechama, ma avelus, and if there's real possible comfort, then what's the mourning? Avol sof sof ma teres, at the end of the day, what is the answer to the question? I mean, is the mourning real? Is it not real? If it is, how can you be comforted? If the comfort's real, how could the mourning be real? These are two sides of a coin that are both equal. There's real, total, and complete crying, and there's real, total, and complete comfort. On the one side, everything is dark. On the other side, what are we missing? There's nothing missing. And they're both true. What does that mean? The crying is over the deficiency that can never be made up. And the comfort is that in spite of the low level that we are at, our lowly stature, we can still reach a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can know Hashem kishashamayim psuchim varakim nikru b'b'chinas atares ladas. It's possible to know Hashem when the heavens are opened up and the firmament is ripped asunder on the level of you were atares ladas. You were made to be known at the Maimed Har Sinai, the Sinai event. That's the pasuk we read this past Shabbos. In other words, it's possible to know Hashem with the thunder and the lightning, the explosions, and the incredible feats of greatness that God does. That's one way to know Hashem. And it's possible to know Hashem and to reach Him through the faith of sitting, as the Pasuk says, sitting in the darkness of the shadow of death. You can know Hashem that way as well. Right? And that's what all the famous Holocaust stories were about. Or the story he mentioned earlier over here, that the secular Jew is willing to take the rap for eating the kosher and get a bullet in his head. There's ways to find Hashem in the darkest places. And who knows which one is greater? Which finding of Hashem is greater? The Tanadvei Eliyahu, it's written in the Medrash of the Tanadvei Eliyahu, Perek Aleph, Isa Shekadosh Baruch Hu Samech Bechalko, that Hashem is very happy with His portion. So what's possible that Hashem is happy with His portion? We're supposed to be happy with our portion. We understand who is a happy person. Hasameach b'chalko, who's a wealthy person, rather, a person Sameach b'chalko, who's happy with his lot. So our understanding is that whatever Hashem gives us, obviously, is what we're supposed to have, and we're happy with what we have. So how does it work for Hashem? So the Vilna Gaon says the same thing. Ubei agrosh, Hashem yisparach Sameach b'chalal Yisrael. Hashem is happy with the Jewish people, because the pasuk says, ki chelek Hashem amo, because his nation is a portion of Hashem. But that's Hashem's portion. Hashem's portion is his, the chelek of Hashem is amo, his people. So avona apshuta, the simple meaning is, shemala sadar shavah, that the levels of all the generations are equal. Why? Sharei echad amar bevechad amamid, ubavad shechavin lulu shavah. It doesn't matter if one is able to do more, one is able to do less, the famous rule of the Talmud. But as long as your focus is to God, then that's all that matters. You know, some people have better talents than others, but what matters to God is what's in your heart and what you really feel and what you really want. Some can do more, some can do less, but obviously God gave certain people more talents than others. But the main thing is that your heart should be for Hashem. So that's on the one hand. And that's a simple meaning. So Hashem's happy, with, you know, as long as he has nice, simple Jews who love him. Right? That's what the Baal Shem Tov was trying to bring into Hasidus. That although there are regular Jews who are unlearned, but if they love Hashem and they do simple acts of faith for Hashem, that's a very, very special thing for him. And even if it's not the most sophisticated thing, but a simple act, but the feeling of closeness to Hashem, that's amazing. And that's Hashem's portion. He's happy with that portion. Give me a simple Yid who just loves me. He may not be so smart, but that's Dveikus to Hashem. That's being close to Hashem. That's a simple pshat, that Hashem is happy with his portion. But the deeper understanding of the concept of Hasamech b'chalko, of being happy with his portion, who? Hayediyah shezel achelek haroy l'Hashem yisbarach, where Hashem knows that this is the fitting portion for him. Asher kivyachol, as it were, mistapek b'mud. He's satisfied with the little that you give him. Yeah, we're supposed to be happy with the little that Hashem gives us. Don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of help, be happy with what you have. Because whatever Hashem gave you, that's exactly what you need. So therefore, Hashem is happy with the little that we have. Hashem is happy with the service of the last generation. In an equal way, for his joy that he had, in earlier generations. Next page, Sarichez. Klapei Hashem Yisbarach, vis-a-vis Hashem, Mekoyim Shalolim, the place of the world, Hakol Shav, everything's equal. Hadaris Rishonim, Hadaris Achronim, the earlier generations, the latter generations, they're all equal, and every Jew can make his Kiddush Hashem in his way that Hashem will be so happy with that generation. So he kind of ends off with a very interesting philosophical point. Hayecholas lichos imastiros, the ability to live with the contradictions. One of the most important fundamental principles in Judaism that no Goyish philosopher can understand. No Goyish cup can understand this. Is the ability to live with contradictions, and that's not a problem. Normally we can't live with contradictions. If it's a contradiction, that means there's something the matter. And the Jew is able to understand that, yes, we can live with contradictions. Why? We'll see. Kesheim shecholav biyachid im basar treif. We know if you mix meat and milk together, it's not kosher. It's treif. Ubenifrad kol echad mem kosher l'achil. When you separate them, you could eat them. Take a carton of ice cream by itself, you can eat it. Take a steak by itself, you can eat it. Put it together, you can't eat it. So ein zeh derech hanechona liyatzer matzav parva. It's not proper to think of a path to create a concept of parv ulechaber bein anigudim, nigudim, and at the same time to connect two opposite things. You can't say I'll take fleishig and milchiks and I'll make it parv. That's not parv. It's not parv. You've got two contradictory things in the same pot. We don't have parv. We have treif. So what he's saying is, but l'chol matbeh, but for every coin, yesh shnei tzadim, you can have two sides. V'tzarch l'das l'chosim shneim ke'echot. You have to know to be able to live with both of them together at the same time. A yid has to be able to do that. because God is not bound by the normal laws of nature. And no different than when God made the plague of Barod, when he made the plague of the hailstones, it was fire and ice in the same hailstone. How can you do that? You can't have fire and ice at the same place. A huge ice ball with fire coming out of it. How could that be? But for the creator of the world, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. He's not limited by anything. He has a normal nature, and then God says, you know, right now I don't want to do things in the normal nature way. Who says that fire and ice can't be together? The physicist? What does he know? All he knows is what he sees. He doesn't know there's a creator who could do whatever he wants. The creator can do anything he wants. Right? Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, was it Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who told his daughter there was no oil in the candle, in the candelabra, to light for Shabbos. He says, use vinegar. He says, what do you mean vinegar? He says, the same creator who creates combustion from oil and fire, he can create a concept of combustion from vinegar and fire. If all our lives we saw vinegar burn with a match, you wouldn't wonder to see it burning with a match. So he can make it work that way. What's the problem with God? It's no problem. So God can live within the contradictions because he created the realities. And what looks to us to be a contradiction does not have to be a contradiction in God's world. And that's the difficult thing, is to live with contradictions. That's what a Jew has to be able to learn, that idea. We do live with only the contradictions that God creates. Only contradictions that God creates. Mitzad Echad, on the one hand, Toya Mishachayshev She'ach Shadara V'anachnu Kamalas Hadar Zakodman. On the one side, it would be very mistaken for us to think that our generation is very kosher and that we have the levels of the earlier generations. We don't. We don't come close to them in so many ways. V'aldaba Kabachina, and for that we cry, and that is the mourning of the Jewish people, even when the Mashiach comes. On the other hand, there is an advantage and an importance to our low level of this generation. And there's something special about us lowlifes. And as far as Hashem is concerned, they're both equal. The understanding, the practical conclusion that comes out of everything we're saying is a recognition that at the end, all the generations have their significance in creation. We have to bring Mashiach. We know the work is never credited except for the one who finishes the job. Whoever finishes the job, that's the one who gets the credit. And we're coming in right at the end. But Bechinas, very interesting point. Bechinas Av Malacha Shel Maka B'Patish. We know there's 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos that you can't do. The final one is called Maka B'Patish. What's Maka B'Patish? Maka B'Patish means the last blow to finish up the article. The last thing that you need to do to finish it off, that it's considered done. And quite often, it's not such a significant thing that has to be done. It's not such a significant thing that has to be done. The classic example is the smith is using a hammer to beat out things, right? And you beat out something, and then you level the hammer at the end of the job. You level it out, so now it's done. So now the work is done. Even though I made the object great, but the job's not done until you make sure that the tool that you worked on is back to normal too. So the littlest thing, you build something and there's a bunch of dust on top. You can't use it and you just clean it off. That's the final blow, the final thing that makes it ready to go. Which is not, you did so much work to get everything ready, right? And all the work to put it together and to saw it and to this and to that. You're sweating. But you still need that last little thing. That last little thing, and then the job's considered finished. And without it, you can't go on. It's a significant, it's mamish, it's a gornish. It's less than 1% of all the work that was done. But that, if you don't have that last little thing, you can't use the item yet. You build the whole thing, you have to put the battery in. you built a significant contraption. It took years and years. And now we're ready to have it move, but we just have to put a battery in. So now you put the battery in. That would be the last, that's the last blow. The last blow is always a small one. It's always a small one. You know, it's such an unbelievable concept. When we talk about the 39 prohibited activities, what were they used for? Why were they prohibited? Right? They were the things that were used to build the Mishkan, to build the tabernacle. To build the tabernacle was what would bring God into this world. So we have these big jobs that had to be done, big jobs, plowing, planting, weaving, all these things. And then the last little thing, the last little thing, that's the Makom HaPatris, the last final blow. That's what's going to make the Mishkan finished. That's what's going to bring Hashem down into this world. So this is the same thing for generations. We had certain generations that were plowers, they were planters, big generations. So what are we? We just put the final touch. That's all we're able to do. But without the final touch, it'd be worthless. It'd be worthless. You'd have all the years of work, but if we don't put the final touch on. So we're the final touch. And that final touch, without it, we'd have nothing. So it's no less than anything else. Nechamas ador mechurban vagolus, the comfort of the generation from all the destruction, all the exile. When we merit to fulfill our portion in the creation and to reach, and where the entire creation reaches its perfection, even according to our little level, that is that the Almighty should comfort us. So that's a very, very important piece to live with, that all the situations, you go through a Holocaust, and how can you live with the contradictions? A Yid has to live with contradictions. That's the problem. That's the problem. The Holocaust survivors, some of them who can't come to terms with God, they can't get the idea that there can be contradictions. And it's apparent contradictions. But they're not. Right? And only when Mashiach comes, and only when Hashem shows you all his notes, and only when Hashem brings everything back, and only when the Makom HaPatris comes, and then everything becomes clear retroactively, they'll say, ooh, I didn't know how smart Hashem was. What? That's what teiku means. Well, teiku is a little different. Teiku is we don't know the answer. It's not that it's a contradiction in the Gemara. It's we just...
It doesn't seem like it.
No. The teiku just means... Teiku means it's an argument. We're not able to prove one side more than the other. When Elio comes, he'll answer this shiloh, but it's not a contradiction. We just don't know the answer. It's not exactly the same. Here it's a clear contradiction. Here was a tzaddik. Here was a wonderful tzaddik. And the Nazis tortured him in the most cruel and inhumane ways. So that's a contradiction. How can your Torah says? Your Torah says you live with Hashem, everything will be fine. And this guy lived with Hashem and everything's not fine. So it's a contradiction. There's no such thing as a contradiction. I mean, it looks like a contradiction, but there's answers.
Does this like come from
Elo, Chaim? That's what's more similar. These and those are the words of the living God. It's able to contain. God can contain this. He's big enough to contain contradictions. We're not. We're limited. If this is the way we are, then we can't do something that's the opposite. But God can. It's not a problem because it only appears to us to be an opposite. He's so broad. He goes beyond our realm of understanding where it really isn't an opposite if you have the depth and breadth of reality that he has. So that's where we have to, on the one hand, always be critical of ourselves. We have to say, what's the matter with us? We're a bunch of nothings. And that's the truth. We're a bunch of nothings. In the scheme of things, we don't light a torch, a candle to anybody. On the other hand, only certain people can get certain things done, and that's what we have to get done. And we have in our way to get close to Hashem and do the work that has to be done. And Hashem is happy with the work that we do. And we were meant to live in this generation with iPods and videos and all these Narishkeit and all the depravity and immorality that no other generation had. The ease for immorality by the press of a button from the comfort of your own home never existed anywhere in this world. Right? So the tests are incredibly deep. And obviously those who get harder tests can't do as well as those who get easier tests. But then you don't sit back and say, okay, so whatever I do is fine. No, not whatever you do is fine. There are those who will succeed in every generation. Those are those who will fail in every generation. Those who failed in the generation where we had a base of English. And those who are failing now. Those are those who succeed in generations. And those are the ones who succeed, Those are the ones that give merit to the generation. Those who fail don't bring any merit to that generation. So that should be our comfort to move ahead after Tisha B'Av and to realize that although we can't fix which was broken, but we can certainly live up to what is expected to us within that broken state. Okay, so that's that piece, and now we will venture forth into a new piece. So, Errol, could you do me a favor and just pass this out? And this, like I said, Rapinus doesn't have that many on comfort, interestingly. So this piece is a little bit of a broader kind of a piece that I'm using. And I don't want to start anything. I don't want to start another sefer. I don't want to. So only got another after today. Another three sessions. So hopefully this will be enough to do an interesting piece over here in your sheets. It's the first page. Kuf Zayin. The title is called. I figure it's a nice title to talk about. Hamuna Bevias HaMashiach. The belief in the coming of the Mashiach. And that's a very interesting piece. And really gets deep into some issues. Now, we may know some of these ideas. We've talked about a lot of these ideas, but he puts it in a nice order, and it's nothing. At worst, it will be a good chazara, and at best, it will give us some interesting new ideas. And the subtopic of the discussion is Hashkafa Shel Tanuge Olam Hazeh, and how a Jew should view the outlook we should have towards the pleasures, the material, physical pleasures of this world. How do we look at physical, material pleasures? So he begins with a general definitions. Havdel ben chachma lebina. The difference between the Hebrew words chachma and bina, which in English is, I guess, wisdom and understanding. And we had this already from the Bilvavi Sefer in, I forget which volume now. I think early in the first volume. B'tchila Sefer Mishle, in the beginning of the book of Proverbs, Omer Shlomo Melech, King Solomon says, L'das chachma u'musar lahavin imre bina. Look at the terms he's using. L'das, to know. Chachma, wisdom. U'musar. Musar is like hard English word to use to translate. So we say like ethical practice, but it's not a good translation. Lahavin, another word, lahavin, to understand. Imre bina, the words of intellect. So if you look over there, you see three terms that are being used. Yesh the musag is a concept shel havana. There's a concept of havana. Yesh the musag shel das. And there's a concept of das. Both words loosely translate to mean understanding. Lahavin is to understand, and ladas is to know. To understand and to know. What's the difference between understanding and knowing? Okay, lumazos, and in contrast to that, yesh no musa kanikras chachma is a concept called chachma, wisdom. Kmo shematzana b'pasuk, as the pasuk says, v'amalei oso ruach alokim b'chachma ubitfun b'das. I will fill him with the spirit of God. This is with Bezalel. Hashem says, I will fill him with the spirit of God with wisdom and tfuna and das. I'll fill him with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So what's the difference? Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. What's the difference in those terms? So the answer is Yeshna Hevdel Mahusi Ben Masakim. There is a fundamental difference between each of these concepts. Chachma Perusho Lodas Es Ametzias Alburia. Wisdom is to know a reality clearly. Lumazos. In contrast to that, bina himashu acher. Bina, understanding, is something else. Bina perusho lahovin es maus umashmos advarim. Bina means to understand the essence and the implications of that reality. You can know a reality, you can know about a reality, and then you can know the implications of that reality. The das, and das is perusha lechaver as advarim eleinu l'toch pnimiyosenu, is to attach all that knowledge and that understanding into our essence and to live in the reality of that information. That's das, that it's part of you, that you live in that reality. So we'll give you his example, and then I'll give you maybe an easier example. Dugma lakach, let's give an example. Sichus Balayam Musar, when we read and learn or hear talks from rabbis who are trying to teach us Musar, the right way to behave. When a rabbi gives a shmooz, hey, b'derech klal, generally, al derech shall bina v'das. The last two items of bina and das, understanding and intellect. Hey, enem maknim lanu chachma, they don't really give us any wisdom. Mean to say, kol echad yodeh sheish bore el v'yesh Torah. Everybody knows that there's a creator in this Torah. Rabbi doesn't get up. I don't get up and tell, guys, I want to tell you something really exciting. There's a God in the world. New information. There's a Torah. We all know this. We know there's a God. We know there's a Torah. Right? Kol adam yedesh et tzorach lishmer sa Torah et tzorach lispal b'kavod. Everybody knows you got to follow the Torah and daven with concentration. So Rabbi, get up and tell you, Rabbi Isaiah, I'm going to teach you something new today. You have to daven every day. You have to daven with concentration. I learned that long ago. That's chachma. That is chachma. That is wisdom to know. Yid has to know this. Hashem, there's Torah. You have to daven. That's good old fashioned wisdom. So anelo shomrim kol kach ala Torah mishum sheinenu mevinim es hamashmos hamukesh al Torah. The problem is, so why don't we keep the Torah? It's not because we don't know about it. It's because we don't understand the deep implications of these concepts that exist. You don't understand what it means to not live with Torah. That's the problem. You don't understand what Torah really is. What's the implication of Torah? Alide bina vidas, when we use bina and das, alide musar, through the learning of musar, anu mavinim es amkus advar, we understand the depths of the concepts, umekaimim yoser tovas haTorah, and therefore we'll keep the Torah much better. Lumazos, in contrast, limud haTorah shayach yoser chelek shel hakneyas haChochma, the learning of Torah, straight learning of Torah, is more dealing with the portion of acquiring wisdom. Keshanum lomdim lamashon gemara v'tosus. When we learn gemara and tosus, you learn any safer. Hamatar shana hiliknas yidias is our objective is to acquire information. L'das musagim shatorah melamedes usano, to understand concepts that the Torah is teaching us. Soich achma, that is wisdom. All right. So what he's saying is, yes, you learn some Torah. Great. Learn a piece of Torah. So do you understand what was being taught? Yes, I understand what was being taught. Can you feed it back to me? I can feed it back to you. I understand. I know this information. Okay, now this information carries implications. You know, because this is so, then the following must obviously come out of this, or maybe not so obviously come out of this. So now, if you understand the implications, that's bina. But then, das means I live in the reality of those implications and my actions they conform to the knowledge and the implications that come forth from that. So let's give you a simple example. I will now give you some statistics. I'm going to give you some knowledge. That nicotine in one's body is kills healthy cells. I don't know what it's called, along the lung lining, what was it called, cilia, whatever it's, whatever, the little hair, the little, yeah, whatever, it looks like little hairs, whatever, what's it called? Cilia, I was right, huh? So anyway, so it's a piece of chachma. Nicotine, smoke, inside the lungs, destroys the cilia. Okay, very good, I know. Okay, what's the implications, doctor, if that happens? Implications, if you smoke and bring this into your chest and bring it into your lungs, you know, they will die. And as they die, then the doctor can explain to you all the steps that could lead to emphysema or lung cancer. That's already, you have to have bina. You have to have understanding. So what? So nicotine destroys cilia, right? The implication is you're going to have trouble breathing. The implication is you're going to die. Guess what? After the chachma, the bina, people are still smoking. Why are they still smoking? You know the understanding. It's not like the machloikis in the doctor's world. No, smoking's okay. Many people feel it's still okay. It's not a problem. Any doctor who said you should smoke should would lose his license. So it's obviously, it's a chachma. It's a chachma. It's not to be disputed. Smoke will kill this, and the implication is you will die. You have a much higher percentage chance to die. Right? So then why are you still smoking? What are you lacking? You're lacking das. Das means to be at one with the information. That the information and you, there's no separation between the information and you. That information is as clear to you as anything else in this world. It's as clear as day, and you know, just like you can't eat, if you don't eat, you will die. Everybody eats. Why? Because the das is not in any conflict. You know you gotta eat. You know, food has energy. Energy intake keeps you alive. Implication, you better eat to stay alive. Das means I'm totally at one with that information. We can do that. You know why that's easy? Because there's no conflict between the das and the chachma and the bina and other chachma that you have. You know, there's other piece of information, which is, I like the taste of nicotine. I like it. That's also a piece of information. That's a reality. I do like it. It is tasty, whatever. I don't understand how people do like it. People like it. I enjoy it. It calms my nerves. That's a chachma. It is. It's a fact. It does calm people down. There is whatever, some pleasure that people get from doing it. If smoking it was like ingesting noxious fumes that you feel like barfing, you wouldn't do it. So obviously it is a pleasurable thing. So you've got a drive within you that will not allow the chachma and bina to take root inside you to the point that you live with that information. Das means you are so at one with this information, there's no other way to live your life except with that information. And that's always the challenge in everything in life, is how to get the chachma and bina to the stage of das. Right? You've studied for years, you learned Chovas Halvavos, you learned all the Jewish philosophical texts, you know that there is a God. You know that there is a God. You have that chachma. There's no doubt in your mind that you created the world. Now, what are the implications of that? The implications are you got to do everything he says. Because anything different would be foolhardy and crazy, because he's the creator. He's the manufacturer that has made this world, has made you. He understands you better than anything else. And if God says you should put on tefillin, and if God says you keep kosher, then you know what? God knows what's best for you. And you know that that's true. So what's the problem? How come we don't do it? We don't do it. We don't do what it says in the Torah. Because we're lacking that das. Because it's not that real to us. Putting on tefillin isn't as real as going to work and getting a check for $10,000 at the end of the week. That's real. But understanding this, that God is the creator of the world, his reality is more real than anything else. He's the one who gives you all the space that you have to begin with. So that's what you need the rabbi to give you mussar, to make everything you know real. So that's the three levels, and that's where our challenge comes in our avodas Hashem. First of all, we gotta learn. If you don't know anything, there's nothing to talk about. Then people learn. They think they know Torah, but they don't know the implications of Torah. You know, you're a Reform and conservative Jew. They don't understand the implications of Torah. They think it's just nice heritage. There's an implication. They have to have a bina. And then comes the das to say, okay, so now I gotta live with this. So where this all fits in, this is a nice introduction. So we will not have class tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. And then we will continue, and we'll have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to finish this piece, Bezus Hashem.